We are blessed to give remembrance to that blood and body of the Lord today. Message kind of geared around that thought. 1 Corinthians 11:24 and 25, we'll read those and then we'll have a short message. Well, you know, only 10 pages. Actually, well, my pages, you know, I get big print. You can read it from out there if I hold it up. But all right, 1 Corinthians 11:24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." And then 1 Corinthians 11:25, and after the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Father, thank you for your precious blood and body that was broken. Lord, thank you that you saved us and give us the great opportunity to bring to remembrance what you've done, and help us to value that even more today. And Lord, help us to remember, be reminded of those things, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I know as a young believer, I was impressed by several scriptures that spoke about being a forgetful hearer and forgetting. I didn't realize that that was a prophecy. But to remember. So many times in the scripture we're called to remember. And that's because we are forgetful. We don't remember those things. But so this morning we will do what Christians around have been doing for over 2,000 years. We will remember Jesus and what he did, and why he did it, and what it means for us, what it's about. More than anything else, again, the Lord's Supper service is a time of remembrance, trying to bring into memory. And each one of us have somewhat of the same remembrance, but we have different remembering about in our own lives. How God worked and how he saved us and what he brought into our life and how he took us through it. But it's the same Savior that saved us, the same remembrance of what he has done. So again, that's why we said we're going to look at this do in remembrance of me. First of all, it's a time of commemoration. And you know what commemoration is? Remembering. It's remembrance. It's the word commemorate means to honor the memory of somebody or something in a ceremony, to serve as a memorial to something. And of course, if the Lord's Supper is anything, it's a memorial, isn't it? That's what we do. It's a memorial, as a remembrance. It is a time to remember Jesus and what he did for us. Again, I'm sad that there are not more that put this as a priority, put this time as a priority. It does sadden my heart. You know, And it's not like I'm taking inventory. It's not like But it seems like I've seen some over the years that I've never seen at the Lord's Supper. And I wonder about that. I say, what is the deal? But anyway, I'm not going to deal with that part. It's a time when we honor his suffering. That's what we're doing. We remember. We're honoring his suffering. Verse 24 and 25 talk about the broken body and the blood, which we identified, of course, God identified as precious. Both of these vivid phrases bring to mind suffering and pain, don't they? Certainly, his body was broken, and the blood was let. I don't know about you, but whenever, even if I, you know, as my age now, as I look down and I'm bleeding, now that didn't cause a lot of pain, but you wonder where that come from. But it did, you know, you don't like to see blood, and you especially don't like to see your own blood. And oftentimes, that blood has come by pain and suffering, and our Savior certainly did come by pain and suffering. So when we take the elements of the Lord's Supper, we are to remember that Jesus Christ suffered horribly for us to save us from our sins. Jesus suffered first at the hands of men. Look at Isaiah 52:14 says it, a very graphic verse. And many were astonished at his visage, his makeup, his face, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Again, that's something we bring to remembrance. It was not, you know, salvation is free, but it wasn't cheap. Amen. It was costly. It cost our dear Lord dearly. And so we think of that. We're reminded of that. It's what we bring into remembrance, his suffering. Jesus suffered again at the hands of God. And we have the whole chapter of Isaiah 53 that describes the aspect of the suffering at the hands of God. And he cries out in Matthew 27:46, and he says, "At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,' that is to say, 'My God, why hast thou forsaken me?'" The suffering of that separation cried forth. And that we're reminded of that. We remember that when we come to the table. Again, the cross and all that he suffered. We think of that horrid and terrible death of the cross. We honor his sacrifices. The fact that Jesus Christ was in a human body speaks of the sacrifices he made to redeem us. Left eternal praises and glory and beauty and came and dwelt among men who spit upon him and maligned him. And he had no place to lay his head and he suffered as a man. He became man and lived and died in the world to redeem the lost. He did that for a reason. He suffered shame and rejection and poverty and pain and death. Suffered all those things. We bring that to remembrance when we come to this table, to remind ourselves of the value of what Christ did for us. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." And indeed he did that. So again, when the bread and the juice are passed around in a little while, stop to remember what Jesus did for you. Again, we're here to commemorate his sufferings and his sacrifice. But in the midst of remembering that and examining it ourselves, it's a time of rejoicing. It's a time of rejoicing. It's a rejoicing that there was one, the God-man, that was willing to do this. Again, just as much as the Lord's Supper service is a commemoration, it is also a rejoicing, or it's a celebration. We're actually celebrating what he's done. And so, again, a time of rejoicing. We rejoice at celebration. It's to mark a celebrate. To celebrate means to mark a special occasion or day by ceremonies or festivities. Now, we have it down to a much simpler process, obviously, than 1 Corinthians talked about. I mean, it was such that it seems like sometimes it was a party. I mean, and they overdid it. They did it wrong. But I'm saying it sounds like there was a feast. It was time. And of course, again, what man can take everything that God has made good and pollute it, and sadly the Corinthians did that. But again, it comes from a Latin word that means to attend a feast. Again, this is what we are here to do today. We are here to attend a feast celebrating what Jesus did for us. It's a representation. That's what's going on here today. And again, we're to attend a feast celebrating what Jesus did for us. There should be a heart of thankfulness and happiness and joy within every saved person today because of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. Again, this is what we celebrate. We rejoice in his compassion. I celebrate his compassion that he cared enough for me to redeem me. He cared enough for me. Notice again the words "for you." Yeah, there in verse 24, "for you." He came and when he had given thanks, he broke it and to take eat, "This is my body which is broken for you." Each individual believer here, Christ's body and blood was shed for you. It's a personal element. It's going to cause your heart to rejoice. No one else would do that for you. No one else has done that for you, what our Savior did. No one else could do it. That's the point. And so, we should have that heart of thankfulness, who Jesus is and what he has done. And here is what we celebrate. And so, we rejoice in his compassion. And again, for you, he willingly took our sins upon himself that we might be delivered from our sins and from the penalty of our sins. We're owed that. We deserve it, put it that way. We deserve the penalty for our sins, but for us, instead of us being broken, instead of us giving our blood, he did for us. That's an amazing thought. A substitutionary element of the Lord's death and burial and resurrection. He willingly took that. What love that Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, would give himself for you and me. But he did. And think, I hope you are blessed by Romans 5, 6 through 8. It says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were yet sinners. That verse grips my heart so many times. While I was yet a sinner. While I was yet breathing out blasphemies, as it were, against him. He died for me and broke my heart and changed my heart. What a Savior. Christ died for us. And so, further than that, during this, we need to recognize that we rejoice in his conquest, in his victory, if it were. What is not mentioned in these verses, but what is clearly implied, is that the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead after his death on the cross. Verse 26, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come." Now, that's an important thought, too. You see, and again, anyone who could have died, but only the God-man could rise again. Somebody could die for me. But if they couldn't rise again, what would it mean? Just died for me. But Jesus died for me, rose again, and his death, and that, what did that do? That guaranteed eternal life by rising again from the dead. But again, when we think of the rejoicing of this, thank God because he lives, all those who believe in him will live also. 1 Corinthians 15:20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." And then also, and finally, as we think on the Lord's Supper today at noon, we rejoice in his coming. Did you know that? Did you know that when we take the Lord's Supper, we are rejoicing? We are giving a testimony of the Lord's coming. We are clearly again told that when we observe the Lord's Supper, we are telling the world, this world, that we believe Jesus is coming. Again, look at verse 26. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Till he come. So we are saying to all the world, Jesus is coming again. That's his promise to us. John 14:1-3, which we've read a couple times a day and sung. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Again, he is coming. And that is a truth we are celebrating with joy today. So I hope you remember and are reminded of some of those things as we, once a month, gather and bring our thoughts and attention into remembering what Jesus did for you. Father, thank you for, again, the precious